Welcome to your new Hollywood. You get it? Got it? Good.
Welcome to episode 39, everyone. This is Pilot Pickups and Meteors. And you're going to wonder why I'm entering Meteors, Dan, because I didn't tell you why before we started recording. Kia, my wing gal, was unfortunately unable to join us due to a family situation. But Dan is here. And Dan, Ooh. You love Pilot Pickups just as much as I do.
I love it possibly more.
I think you do, actually. I think you do. And we're going to be talking about Pilot Pickups, and I have and Meteors. And this is just a minor thing. During our previous podcast, you and I were chatting with journalist Sam Gutel about YouTube. And you guys got into a discussion about the Russian videos that are on YouTube where cars are colliding into each other and going through these like insane accidents.
I love those Russian videos.
Yeah, I know you do. And you were asking, like, what's up with everyone having these cameras on their dashboards? And, you know, what are they doing? And I just found out, like, okay, so they had that meteor that struck in Siberia a few weeks ago, right? And all these dashboard recordings got the picture of the meteor streaking across the sky and whatever. So I'm watching ABC News, and the reporter says that apparently a number of people in Russia...
It's for insurance.
Well, for insurance, but also the police are known to be very corrupt, and they cause all kinds of accidents as a means to get money from these people. So that is why they have these cameras on the dashboards.
Yeah. I mean, it's all because, the insurance will give them, like, a break, and there's all this other stuff, but yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's still insane, because you're sitting there, you have all this footage of all these people, and then you have to wonder, like, if they did the same thing in Los Angeles, would we have the same kind of footage or not? I mean...
Well, I bet you there'd be some well-behaved folks. I'm not going to say on what side.
I don't know about that. I think there would be some of that footage, but I can't believe they would be just as bad if they did the same thing in the United States.
Well, I don't know what
some of that stuff's crazy.
It is bananas. And I started, you and Sam got me going. You got me watching these doggone videos on YouTube. And,
awesome.
I'm just like, your great old aunt in the movie theaters, like, don't turn that wheel. Don't turn around that corner. Oh, Lord. So, anyway, so now everybody knows. Okay, we've covered the meteor part. Oh, before we get into Pilot Pickup stuff, why don't we cover a little entertainment news?
Woo!
As you all know, we do love Scandal here.
Woo, scandals!
And Dan, apparently Shonda Rhimes retweeted one of your tweets.
That is correct.
Which one was it?
I tweeted that for Black History Month, Kerry Washington proves that black people can, in fact, swim. Hashtag scandal. And it got retweeted. It got retweeted all the way into the next week.
You're kidding.
There were people still retweeting that.
Oh, my
goodness.
When
I was watching the next week's episode.
Is she following you now?
Yeah, she was following me.
Oh, that's great. She's going to get some really good quotes out of you. She doesn't know it yet. You don't know it yet, Shonda, but Dan has come up with some Lulus.
My favorite's still the one about 24 in West Wing.
Well, you want to tell everybody about the 24 West Wing one?
I think I said it on the show first, that Scandal is what would happen if drunk 24 in West Wing hooked up and then gave the baby to Dynasty. That show is crazy cuckoo.
I wonder if when they pitched the show, they threw that out in the room.
I can't believe that.
I wonder.
I still wonder what, what's your name, Judy Smith?
Mm-hmm.
I have to wonder what she thinks of the show at this point.
I'm curious.
Because I could see where the beginning, she's like, oh yeah, it's a show about me. But now she's like, that's not exactly my life.
No, I think she recently did an interview with Kerry Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I think with Oprah? Was it with Oprah?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think she's cool with it. At least I hope she is. If not, oh well, they've taken it to Crazy Town, and I love it.
It is the best when it's in Crazy Town.
It's crazy. Apparently, your mayor and other politicians of L.A. have stood up and said that they are going to vote to scrap pilot fees, and apparently you say that that vote's already taken place.
I thought I read that it had already passed and it was going to happen.
Okay, well, if it did, good, but it's a little too late, in my opinion. Apparently, you know, for people who don't know, like all states, like many states, LA does charge a fee for people to shoot pilots. And they've decided to scrap those because apparently, and I quote from this article from the LA Times, TV pilots shot in Los Angeles have fallen drastically in recent years from 60% of all pilots in 2007 to only 29% last year, meaning 2012.
Yep.
That's insane.
Everybody moved away.
Everybody Canada, moved away. They Louisiana, came to New York. I'm gonna say we got a whole bunch of those.
There are a bunch of New York pilots. Yeah, Chicago got a bunch.
Yeah, you're tripping and falling over cables here in this town.
That makes me sad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But you know, it's crazy. You know, they're gonna scrap the fees, but in the end, do the fees total up to a lot of money each year? I mean,
The fees aren't so much the money. I mean, if you have all that crew here, though,
yeah,
now they're spending money in the city, they're eating,
businesses are getting money, and people are getting work.
Yeah, and it's, you know, union workers, qualified union workers, and then when they go to series, they're still here.
Right. Well, Hollywood's a town. Get down with the tax incentives, peeps. Get down with the tax incentives. That dovetails into our discussion on pilot pickups, so we'll be right back.
Hey, do you like what you're listening to? You should check out our blog at www.yougetitgotitgood.com. Or you can always shoot us an email at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com.
Well, we're back, people. Like I mentioned, we're here to discuss the pilot pickups, and I guess we decided to take these in terms of networks. And, you know, if I was going with my favorite, we probably wouldn't be starting with this one, but...
Pilots.
So we're going to kick it off with ABC. Okay, first up, we have Assistance. It's a comedy. It focuses on a woman who's like a working girl, an assistant, who feels the tug between her colleague at work, who's like her work husband, and her husband or fiance in real life, and her demanding boss. It's just sort of like a crazy version of like Working Girl, I guess you could say. And it stars Kristen Ritter, who was the bee in Apartment A, or the... What?
The bee in Apartment 23.
Oh, that's right, the bee in Apartment 23. I like that series.
It was all right. It was better than it seemed like it started with.
It was a little too quirky, and I don't think it belonged on ABC.
You know what I feel sad about is every time people try and do shows where they have celebrities playing themselves in the show,
mm-hmm.
for some reason they never work, but for some reason I always enjoy them. Like, I loved It's Like You Know, and I loved Dawson on Be in Apartment 23.
I thought he did a great job, and
I thought he was really funny.
It's so weird you mentioned It's Like You Know. Nobody remembers that series. I tried to describe it to some friends, because we were talking about Jennifer. What's her name?
Now I'm stuck because you just went Jennifer. Gray.
Jennifer That's Gray. It.
Jennifer Gray.
We couldn't remember her name, people. Sorry. Jennifer Gray's nose. And I said, you know, the catch to the show was that she was Jennifer Gray. She was the neighbor, but they never recognized her because of her nose change. And every time she rang the bell, they were like, who are you? She's like, Jennifer Gray.
That show was just a funny show, though.
It was hysterical, but it was way before its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it got canceled because of reality shows, too.
Well, that, but it was also tonally, I think it was way before its time.
Yeah, but I think they would have given it a chance.
Well, it was smart TV when there wasn't much smart TV.
And unfortunately, it was also the start of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
That too. But so we have Assistance. Look, anything I think that Kristen Ritter touches, she kind of knocks out the park. But this is being produced by Will Farrell's production company, I think. And... well, let's see what happens. The girl knows comedy. She's very good.
I hope the show is good.
Let's pray. I'm crossing my fingers.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Oh my gosh, are you eager to rip it apart? Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain. Come on. You know what? If they're going to start doing this, then I demand that they do It's a Small World, the kids show.
Are you horrible?
I want a show about kids traveling around the world and horrible singing that you can't get out of your head.
That would make a good Saturday morning show.
That's what I'm saying.
Although I'm kind of traumatized.
Disney called me. I've got the show ready to go.
I'm kind of traumatized by It's a Small World. When I went, the hula girl was doing the hula and her hip got stuck.
Oh, yeah.
Her hip got stuck, and I found it very, very frightening.
All good children's stories have some sort of trauma.
But Big Thunder Mountain, just so our listeners know, is based on the actual ride at Disney World or Land called Thunder Mountain. And basically the project takes place in the 19th century. It's about a family doctor who gets asked to relocate to a mining town by some big...
Seriously, is America really demanding 19th century period pieces?
Can you let the folks know what it's about?
They got the gist of it. Doctor moves to a frontier town, and there's craziness with a train. But seriously, who's demanding these shows?
Disney.
Who in outside is demanding these shows?
The people who love Thunder Mountain.
Do you think Lone Ranger is going to blow up?
I don't know. I'm curious to know something. Why did they choose Thunder Mountain? Is it because it's a ride that's dying a slow death and they want to give it some props?
Listen to you. You're complaining about me and listen to you talk about it. I at least like the ride, but I'm not sure that there's ever a story there.
Well,
and is there going to be some sort of crazy train chase every week? I don't understand how this even ties together.
I couldn't begin to tell you, my friend.
My Small World show is better.
I think it is, most definitely, but definitely for Saturday morning. Gothica, this is a soap opera / drama. This sounds interesting.
Well, it's a clear companion piece for the Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, they say it's a gothic soap that takes place in the present day, and it's going to be bringing in all kinds of legendary characters like Dracula, Jekyll and Hyde, Frankenstein, Dorian Gray. This is tricky because we poo-pooed Once Upon a Time when we did this last year, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So
I'm still burning about that.
I ain't going to say nothing.
Well, it hurts me that Once Upon a Time and Revenge both spite me by being way more popular.
Well, last year we were kind of iffy about Revenge, but we had faith in its lead character. So, you know, we kind of called it. We were like, you know, if this does well, it's because, you know, of good casting. Right?
I guess.
Yeah. I'm not going to admit that we were wrong. Heck no.
I'm admitting I was wrong.
Huh?
Because there's a lot of other times I was right, but I was wrong there. I admit it.
No. I mean, I do. I mean, I listen to our podcast over and over again, you know, and I, you know, because I'm her biggest fan. But I think that we had faith in Emily Van Camp. And, you know, we said that she pretty much lands whatever she gets. She hasn't really gone off the rails in terms of her performances, you know?
She keeps it under.
Yeah.
It's a good understatement she has.
Yeah, definitely. So.
And so it grounds the show when it gets all crazy like it does.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. How the Hell Am I Normal? Which I think this one might do well.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look, for people who don't know, this is a comedy.
I'm going to ask one important question.
Yes?
Name a show set in the 80s that has worked since the 80s. There have been several.
You mean since the Wonder Years?
There have been several shows.
Oh, no, the Wonder Years wasn't in the 80s.
Yeah,
the Wonder Years wasn't in the 80s. I don't know, Dan.
I don't know that the 80s works for anybody.
It doesn't. Well, this is why I didn't think the Carrie Diaries would do well. And I honestly still don't know if it's doing well.
Well, that show is just about crazy teenager. All they do is just sprinkle in random 80s elements that have no real chronological faith or logic.
You know, with me, when I saw the pilot for that, I saw the wardrobe and nearly gagged.
With a spoon?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was totally grody.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I watched that show as long as I could watch it, which was about 4 episodes.
Okay.
And it just kept annoying me how they just, like, you know, cherry-picked the 80s to dump on the show, and it didn't really have any grounding.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't understand why they were using it other than people recognized the song or the image that they were using.
That's true. I don't know. This comedy is based on writer Adam F. Goldberg's life. And, I mean, people are like, who's Adam F. Goldberg? Well, wasn't he the writer who created Fanboy? He wrote the film Fanboys?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah? And I don't know. I think he might have done another film. I can't remember. I thought he did Fanboys.
I thought
he also did some episodes of Community.
Yeah. I feel like he's a fairly frequent comedy writer.
Yeah. But this is based on his life. And, I mean, he's a good writer. I don't know. I feel like this might have some, you know, pull. But the only thing that concerns me is that Happy Madison Productions is in on it. And, oh, goodness, that rings of Adam Sandler. And I don't know, when he puts his hands into something lately, oof.
Oh, wait. Me. I was thinking of Adam Goldberg.
Yeah, you were. And then at first when I saw this, the premise, I thought, oh, Adam Goldberg, I'd love to know what his life was like. We're talking about the actor Adam Goldberg.
Who I love.
Yeah, who I think he's great. He's hysterical, but this is Adam F. Goldberg, so the writer. So
who I have no feelings on at all.
Well, maybe not, but we'll see. We'll see how this goes. And on that note, let's take a break.
All right.
Like what you're listening to? Then shoot an email to podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com or leave a comment on our blog at yougetitgotitgood.com.
Killer women.
Now, I'm interested in this one because this is part of that phenomenon that I've been noticing. Is just like everybody is just buying formats now.
Right.
We're not getting actual series anymore. We're getting other people's series that we then redo. And I guess, I mean, that kind of is a cycle. You know, the 70s did it a lot. There's a lot of British shows that we did that turned into really popular American shows. But at the same time, you're like, how come with all these writers in LA, we can't find some new shows?
I don't know, but I feel like, you know, Europe, all just in a whole, is going through a renaissance, and they're coming up with some kick-ass shows. I mean, they're coming up with some great stuff.
Well, because they're trying to compete with the American market, who's just dominated all this time, but now the American market feels like it's stagnating, and all these people are coming out with shows. I mean, House of Cards, that was a British show.
Yeah.
You know, the Red Widow, that was it Dutch?
Something like that.
Netherlands, something like that. There's all these shows that have been everywhere else, and now we're trying to do American versions of them, and I think they kind of lose some.
And yeah, now we've got another one from the same people who did The Killing, I think, called The Bridge, that's coming our way.
Yeah, and so Killer Women, it's based on an Argentine series, and it's starring Trisha Helfer as the lone female Texas Ranger, which appeals to me personally. But I have to wonder how much appeal does the 19th century have anymore?
Is this in the 19th century?
Is it supposed to be a modern day Texas Ranger?
You know what? I don't know, Dan.
Because if that's the case, then isn't that just Chase and what was the other show? One on was it In Plain Sight?
I think so. Well, she was not. She was a fat.
Oh no, you're right. Both of those were marshals. But I just feel like, you know, how is this going to be different other than Well, how's this going to be different is really the question.
Well, it has Chisha.
Chase was pretty hardcore action, and in plain sight is, you know, the character side of it, so.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not sure we're getting anything that we didn't get out of Chuck Norris.
Well, you know what? We don't know. Trisha is beautiful, and she knows how to kick butt on television.
And she has a decent fan base, but that did not help Bionic Woman.
Okay, well, what can I say? What can I tell you? Moving on. Lucky Seven. Lucky Seven, it's a drama. Okay, we've been here before. It's a story of seven people who are employed at a service station in Queens who unexpectedly win the jackpot lottery. And it's about how them winning all this cash affects their lives.
I will only watch this if they bring back Luke Perry.
Now, they have tried this before. There was a series called Windfall, in which they focused on different couples and people who had won the lottery, and it failed miserably. Why do we, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we really care about seeing people who are going through this experience.
I mean, this is obviously, this is them tapping into the, you know, during the 80s when it was kind of, I know that's a long time ago for some of our listeners. In ancient history. But during the 80s, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, we had all these shows about, you know, either people like suddenly struck with sudden wealth or what have you, or the rags to riches stories, or we had you know, Fantasy Island, where it was kind of this huge escapism type storytelling. And that was, you know, that was a big hit just because at the time, you know, people were pretty much stuck in their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody was like, oh, I either have a job, but I'm not getting anywhere paid anywhere enough, or I don't have a job. I'm trying to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, the 80s. There was four channels, three channels, and there was not a lot of other things you could do. But now we have hundreds of options, and I wonder if escapism is really going to hold anybody's attention anymore when they can just go turn on their Xbox or you know, look at Netflix and watch some old show that they know that they'll enjoy.
Yeah. What you got next?
So we have Middle-Aged Rage, about a middle-aged wife and mother who's, you know, feeling invisible, so she decides to get the respect she feels she deserves. It's a comedy.
I'm shaking my head already.
I'm doing the quote fingers. It's a comedy. I'm wondering how long that comedy can go on before they have to figure out a new story to tell.
That's what I want to know. It sounds really one note. It's starring Annie Mamolo.
I don't know.
I don't think I really know her. And, well, she's been casted to star in it. And I'm thoroughly not interested. No.
Not at all.
No. I'm confused.
Apparently, Annie Mamola is the writer of Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay, that's right. Isn't she an actress, too? I think she's an actress. Oh, well, she is an actress, of course, because we've cast this, but wasn't she part of the not Saturday Night Live, but the Groundlings or something?
Yes, and she also graduated from Berkeley. Go, okay. Cal.
Yeah, she's ringing in my head now. Yeah. Well, you know what? If she's going to have a hand in the writing, that would be great.
She's done a lot of Looney Tunes show.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced that this is going
to
be anything.
No, but I don't think even middle-aged women want to see middle-aged rage, you know, unless it's Roseanne, you know. I just don't think they care.
We'll see. All right, we've got Mixology. Oh, that sounds clever. It's the writers of The Hangover set in the world of a sexy Manhattan bar. Searching singles, looking for love.
All on the course in one night. And
is that per episode?
I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know. Maybe can they do one night over the course of one season, which sounds better to me.
Does it?
It does. I don't know. I just feel like it's more of an
anthology thing.
Really? I feel like it's more of a challenge.
Oh, no, I could see that working, too. But then you're, like, locked into watching every episode, or you're going to miss out on what happened in hour 8.
I don't know. These formats don't tend to work out. I know that they tried it with that sort of Love American Style revival type of show that they had recently. I forgot what network it was on. But I don't know. Viewers tend to get a little bit weird with these type of formats.
I think if it was some sort of, I don't know if it was like Cupid, but funnier.
Oh, that's what it was, Cupid. That's what I'm talking about. It was Cupid.
Yeah.
I don't feel like people really took to that series too well.
Either time.
No. No, they didn't. But anywho. Next is Murder in Manhattan. I got really excited when I heard about this one. I mean, I hadn't heard the premise. And I was thinking that, is this based on the Woody Allen film? Like a couple?
No.
And I was like, that would be pretty funny. Wrong.
Instead, it's just Murder, She Wrote, except with a mother and daughter.
Yeah.
Snap, I said it.
I don't know. We'll see. I have no idea who's been casted in this. I'm curious. You know, Manhattan makes for an interesting murder city.
It's a dramedy. That makes me a little nervous.
I always feel weird
about dramedies about murder. I mean, it works with, like, Psych. In general, I'm not sure that you really want a lot of comedy in your murder.
I don't know. I've never known it to be things like this. They just either take or they don't, you know, for weird reasons, like Matlock. It's like, I don't know. Pulling, it's a comedy. It's taken from a British format. Revolves around dysfunctional women in their 30s. Who are trying to live their lives and, you know, live their lives.
I swear I've seen the British version of this, but I cannot remember a single thing about it.
Really?
Yeah, I go through these periods where I'll just go through British comedies just to see what's there.
Mm-hmm. I watch them all the time, and I hadn't heard of this one.
I'd heard of it. I just can't remember what happened in it, and so that makes me nervous.
Well, apparently they're in their 30s, and they should have their lives figured out. At least that's what society is telling them, and they're sort of pushing back against that. So, we'll see what happens. I don't know. 30? I don't know.
There's a lot of existential female angst going on in these shows.
We're acting out. We're showing rage. We're pushing back against 30.
Is this real, though? Or is this something being made up by television?
I think this is something being made up by television, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. You know, look, I don't know if anyone's going to get upset that I said that. I don't know. But, you know, right now I'm not interested. I feel like they're going in the wrong direction. John Leguizamo has a comedy coming up based on his life, story of a Latino actor living on the west side of New York, married with kids. Trying to make it all work.
These shows are always so serious.
Like
the HBO Louie and this sounds serious.
It always makes me sad
because there's like these comedians and you want them to be funny. And then they're always like, oh, my life is all messed up. I just want it to be like Seinfeld. I want him telling jokes at every act break.
Well, this is based on, I think, the comedy that he did in that one-man show. So maybe it will be funny, you know, in his... I don't know. I don't normally find his comedy funny. I mean, I enjoy watching him and hearing him talk about his life and his past. But, you know, when he is on stage, I don't generally find myself laughing or cracking up. But, you know, he has a big fan base. I just don't know if television is for him, but we'll see how this goes. Venice.
In the ongoing series of TV shows about different parts of Los Angeles, we have Venice, a soap about the haves and have-nots of California's most seductive city, Venice.
Is it seductive? Because the last time I looked at it, it was a hot mess.
Venice is like hippie town, first of all.
Last time I was in Venice, I was highly disappointed because I was looking down that AKA beautiful canal and saw a lot of weirdness floating in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of wacky weirdness and hippies down there. It's like they're combining Venice and Santa Monica, I guess.
Well, look, it's also sort of a Romeo and Juliet thing. There's two families, they're rivals, yet there's two kids who are, you know, having a relationship. Look,
let me tell you what's exciting about this. What's exciting.
And I'll agree with you.
Jennifer Beals.
I agree.
McG.
Yes. That
means anything you're going to see is going to look pretty. And she's going to be throwing all sorts of attitude off the screen. Because I loved her in that Chicago cop drama show.
She handled herself, didn't she, though?
What was that show called? I love that show.
I can't recall, but Girlfriend worked it, and they canceled the show.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
On a cliffhanger.
Why did they do that?
Because they hate people.
You know what? Jennifer Beals, I'm telling you, she has just blossomed. You know, she has blossomed.
She should dance ago.
It was the Chicago Code was the program.
Yeah, that's right. Chicago Code. But the problem is she never does one dancing. That's all people want from her is just one scene where she dances. And then they'd be like, I'll watch the rest of your stuff.
I think
but she never dances.
We've let her go from Flashdance. I think she has proved herself. And what no better project for the L
word? No one has forgotten
Flashdance. Oh, well, I don't think a lot of young people remember her from that.
Oh, now I'm going to have to correct you. I was going to let it go. But Flashdance is generally believed to be the seminal movie for spreading and promoting the B-boy lifestyle around the world.
Oh, okay. Really?
Most of the kids who are currently in those international breakdancing competitions mark Flashdance as the movie that inspired them.
Really?
Yeah. Because of the scene in it where all the street dancers.
I had no idea.
So Jennifer Beals lives on.
Okay, well, you know what? Rock it, Jennifer. Hey, Pete. It's Gabrielle here. If you're enjoying listening to the show, we'd love it if you'd follow us on Twitter. We're at U, the letter U, get it, got it, good. And we'd love to hear your show ideas, questions, or comments. Feel free to email us. We're at podcast@yougetitgotitgood. Okay, I'm out. Enjoy the rest of the show. Well, folks, you know what? Those are the pilot pickups for ABC.
Tune in next week when we argue about the shows on NBC.
We're going to argue about the shows on NBC. But, you know, look, overall, I'm not really wowed. But, you know, I mean, there was a time when I read about the pilot pickups for ABC and they, like, had things like Modern Family and Suburgatory. And we called it on this podcast first, people. I was like, just got wind of something called Suburgatory. It's going to be a hit. And I was right.
I still watch it.
But I'm looking at this and, you know, I'm feeling hopeful about Venice. I'm feeling hopeful. I think that's the only one that's sort of standing out for me. Yeah. So,
I think that's the only one. ABC pilots, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's about it for me.
Although I will watch Killer Women.
You will watch Killer Women.
I do like Trisha Helfer, I have to admit.
Let's cross our fingers for it. And roughly, when would these decisions be made? I don't know.
Soon?
It was like a windfall when they were announcing the pickups. I mean, one after the other was just coming in. I think roughly there's over 100 some odd with the networks combined. And
this is one of the largest pilot seasons ever.
It's one of the largest ever, and I can't...
140 pilots, that's what it is.
140, and, you know, this year, for the first time, we're including streaming services as well, but we haven't heard anything much from them, except, look, House of Cards came out, it's changed the game. Keep up, networks, keep up. You know, I don't know what to say other than I lost sleep watching that series. I literally plowed through 13 series in 2 days, 13 episodes in 2 days, and they got it. You got me. You got me. I'm holding up my arms like I'm being handcuffed. You got me. what can I say? But, I mean, I don't know if, you know, If they keep coming out of the box, like if these streaming services come out of the box with shows like that, I'm curious to see what next year is going to look like.
It would be different TV.
It will be different TV, and I would hope that the networks would be even more selective, a little bit more selective.
I don't know about selective, but I just want them more diverse. I want shows. I want crazy shows. I want, you know, if old ex-cop teams up with a hippo. I don't care. I just want something that I haven't seen before. What happened to that?
I don't know, but there was a few of them that...
What happened to 24? What happened to West Wing? What happened to, you know, what happened to shows where you're like, man, I don't know what that is, but I want to watch it.
I don't know, Dan. I'm curious to know myself. I mean, there was a few pilots that we saw from last year that I thought were going to be picked up, but they weren't. The Mark Cherry series, I never saw the pilot, but he was pitching that around. They turned it down at ABC. I think he had brought it over to ABC Family or something, the one about the maids, Dangerous Maids or something.
Yeah.
That didn't take off. Trooper.
It wasn't that good.
Okay. Trooper, the
pilot. Oh, Trooper. I don't understand how that's not on the air.
I don't understand it either.
That was an excellent pilot, and I don't understand.
I'm very disappointed. That one starred, Mira Sorvino.
Mira Sorvino.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in it, and I thought she did a great job. I love the tone of it. It had just a small injection of quirk. But she really did well. She's a good actress.
Next to Nashville, it was probably one of my favorite pilots.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And there was a few in there that I thought had a chance, but who knows what happened. And now we've got these pilots that we've just reviewed here, and like I said, nothing's really stepping out for me. So come on, McG, bring Venice home. Make us all want to visit it.
Make a new fast lane.
make a new fast lane for us, won't you please? Anyway, Dan, thanks for joining.
Always a pleasure.
And next week we're going to bring you guys NBC.
And maybe some CBS.
And maybe some CBS, which looks a little bit better. The sun's peeking through the clouds on that one.
Actually, I'm going to jump in, and next week we're going to talk a little bit about what Amazon's doing, because I'm horribly curious what it is.
Well, right now we've only seen kid shows coming out of there.
Yeah, it's seen, 8 kid shows now?
Roughly.
And then there's 5 comedy pilots that they've talked about.
That's true. So, yeah, why don't we talk about Amazon as well? We
tune in next week to hear me rant about that.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to join us next week. But thank you for reviewing these with me, Dan. And, folks, if you've heard about any pilots out there that have caught your ear and you want to sound off about them, please email us. We're at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com. And you're more than welcome to follow us on Twitter. Dan's handle is on our blog. My handle is on the blog. Kia's handle is on the blog. And the show's handle is on the blog, so come to the blog at yougetitgotitgood.com. Okay, peeps. Adios.